retailers, and the Annie E. Casey Foundation.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. Well, coming up, there's a lot of talk these days in Washington, D.C. and around the country about possibly impeaching President Trump. Democrats are split on the issue. Today, we'll talk about impeaching the president with former Democratic Congressman Alan Grayson. Well, President Trump says he won't negotiate policy with congressional Democrats while they continue to investigate him. In a hastily arranged appearance yesterday afternoon in the White House Rose Garden, Trump said it's impossible to negotiate on infrastructure or other issues while the inquiries continue. Trump said, you just can't do it. Trump complained about the investigations after a meeting with Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer that was supposed to be about an infrastructure plan.
They want to make this a big deal. Whether or not they carry the big I word out, I can't imagine that, but they probably would. I'll tell you, there's a danger here. If someday a Democrat becomes president and you have a Republican House, they can impeach him for any reason, or her. Any reason. We can't allow that to happen.
President Trump yesterday, Pelosi said congressional Democrats went to the White House in a spirit of bipartisanship to find common ground on infrastructure. She told reporters afterward, for some reason, maybe it was lack of confidence on his part, he just took a pass. She added that in any event, I pray for the president of the United States. Hours earlier, Pelosi had told reporters that Trump is involved in a cover-up. Here's Pelosi yesterday talking about the possibility of impeachment.
I think the president every day gives grounds for impeachment in terms of his obstruction of justice. You never say blanketly, I'm not answering any subpoenas. Article 3 of the Nixon impeachment was he refused to honor the subpoenas of Congress. So, you know, but again, you mentioned history, so I mentioned that as a reference. But everybody today is an instant gratification. You got a subpoena, we want somebody to go to jail. No, it takes time.
Nancy Pelosi yesterday. Well, someone who's been advocating impeachment is former Congressman Alan Grayson, who served two terms in Congress representing Central Florida districts from 2009 to 2011 and 2013 to 2015. After losing the U.S. Senate Democratic primary in 2016 against fellow Democrat Patrick Murphy, tried again for a congressional seat in 2018, but was unsuccessful. During that 2018 campaign, he was a strong proponent of impeaching President Trump, and Alan Grayson joins us live right now. Alan Grayson, welcome back to WMNF.
Thank you.
So what is your take these days about impeaching President Trump, and what do you make of Nancy Pelosi saying essentially that we should go slow?
I think that may be misreading her, and it's certainly misreading him. He's committing high crimes and misdemeanors, the constitutional standard, every day. She said that. She just basically said that in a different word formula. And it's true. The Constitution lays out that officials can be impeached for treason, for bribery, for high crimes, and for misdemeanors. Frankly, the president sounds like a fool when he says that he's worried about the possibility that a Democratic president can be impeached for, quote, anything. It just shows his complete lack of familiarity with the basic document that governs our government. That's not what it says. It says that you can be impeached for those four things and for nothing else. And he's guilty of those things. There's no question about it. As she points out, he's committing impeachable offenses every single day. It is an impeachable offense to refuse to honor a congressional subpoena. And there have been people who have been impeached and convicted and removed from office historically for that very reason. The withholding of information, the obstruction of justice, is clearly an impeachable offense. And it's true if you take the first look at the situation historically. There have been people who have been, not just the example that she gives, which is Article 3 of the Richard Nixon impeachment proceedings, but more poignantly, Bill Clinton was impeached for obstruction of justice. Judge Walter Nixon was impeached and removed from office for obstruction of justice. Governor Evan Mecham, who you may remember, from Arizona, was impeached and removed from office for obstruction of justice. And the interesting thing is that in each of those cases, Nixon, Clinton, Walter Nixon, Evan Mecham, they did it once. Trump's done it at least 20 times.
Do you think this? I think the New York Times says about 12 members of the House, Democratic members of the House right now in Washington, want Speaker Pelosi to move toward impeachment. Do you think that right now we're at the stage where this is essentially politically motivated, or do you think that this is about enforcing the rule of law if there was a move toward impeachment?
Well, actually, the Washington Post came out yesterday with an article that listed almost 40 House members who have publicly stated that they're in favor of impeachment, some of them as dramatically as Congressman Tlaib, who said, impeach the MF, on the day that she was sworn into office, others somewhat less dramatically. And these are people who have bothered to address the issue publicly. More than 40 Democrats voted last year in favor of impeachment. There were two articles of impeachment introduced in the last Congress, and more than 40 Democrats voted in favor of impeachment. The public polling shows that Democratic voters are overwhelmingly in favor of impeachment. It's not even close. And whether or not Republicans or independents are in favor of impeachment, the notion that the Democrats are divided is true only maybe at the very top among, quote, Democratic leaders. A large number of candidates for president have come out in favor of impeachment at this point. And in part that's because the man is simply guilty of the things that he's charged with. You know, maybe we spend too much time talking about the political implications of this. The Constitution says that when a public official is guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors, then he is to be impeached and removed from office. It's probably the wrong approach, I would say, to say, well, what are the political ramifications of that? I don't think the political ramifications are all that significant, to tell you the truth. In the case of Richard Nixon, the impeachment investigation caused his public opinion ratings to crash, and the Republican Party was devastated in the following election. In the case of Bill Clinton, at least according to the urban legends, it had the opposite effect. If you want to go back to the case of Andrew Johnson, who was impeached and almost removed from office in the 1860s, the impeachment investigation in his case was so devastating to the public's view of him that his own party rejected him 5 weeks after the Senate voted not to remove him from office. He had been so scarred and so battered by the impeachment investigation that he ended up getting 1/6 of the vote in his own presidential convention when the Democratic Party came together to look for their candidate for that election. So he wasn't even renominated. And you might see the same thing happening here. I mean, it might well be that if a convincing impeachment moves ahead against Donald Trump, the Republicans will decide to choose someone else themselves, just like the Democrats did under Andrew Johnson.
We're talking with former Congressman Alan Grayson. He's a Democrat, and he's written privately about impeachment. I'm going to ask him about some of the notes that he's written about impeachment. We're talking about the possible impeachment of President Trump, and this is 88.5 FM. I just want to go back to the Clinton example. Clinton had a pretty strong economy. Right now, we have a fairly strong economy for many people. And the thinking is that the Senate is not going to change. It's going to continue to be comprised of Republicans who back, or a majority of senators are Republicans who back Trump. He would win a trial in the Senate and then come out and be more emboldened than ever after that trial. That's, I think, some of the thinking that's out there.
I understand that, but that's just not the way it works. I mean, historically, there are countless examples of somebody in one party being impeached while in office without a 2/3 Senate vote held by the impeaching party, and that person still gets removed from office when he's guilty. You know, we've had only three cases in all of history where one party held 2/3 of the Senate at the same time that an official was impeached. In one of those cases, it was his party that actually held the two-thirds of the Senate vote. So we've had only two cases where a hostile party, an impeaching party, held two-thirds of the Senate. It's a very unusual situation. It's happened only for roughly 20 years in our entire history, going back to 1820, that one party has held two-thirds of the vote in the Senate. And yet we've had dozens of officials impeached during that time without the two-thirds vote being there. And, you know, most of those people who were impeached were, in fact, convicted and removed from office without the two-thirds vote in the Senate being there as a result of party affiliation. So it's just historically incorrect to say that someone's not going to get impeached unless the other party holds two-thirds of the votes in the Senate. That's just not the way it works. In the case of Bill Clinton, the reason why Bill Clinton was not removed from office is primarily because the things that he was accused of had nothing to do or very little to do with his official authority. Generally speaking, people are removed from office when they abuse their official authority or they get into office under fraudulent circumstances. Those are the primary reasons why people get impeached and removed from office. Trump is guilty across the board in that regard. It's hard to think of any power that he has that he hasn't abused.
Well,
but that wasn't true of Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. I saw you at an event in Polk County just a few weeks ago, and you handed me a document in which you outlined the articles of impeachment that you would advocate right now. And I don't know what the status of this document is, whether or not you've published it anywhere, whether or not you intend to write a book. But I want to ask you, what are some of the reasons why you think President Trump should be impeached?
Well, I've written a book where we have a literary agent for the book. We're in the process of getting it published. So that I don't mean to cast any sort of mysterious spell over the conversation here. That's what's actually happened. And I gave you a chapter of the book that refers to the specific articles of impeachment. But the answer to your question is that Trump is impeachable and should be impeached for literally every reason that anybody's ever been impeached in this country and convicted and removed from office, because he's guilty of all of them. That's the remarkable thing. When you look back at the dozens of people who have been impeached in the United States under the impeachment clause or under the expulsion clause of the Senate and the House under the Constitution, which is analogous, what you find is that Trump has done as bad as any of them or worse, with two exceptions. When you measure his particular violence against the Constitution, his offenses against the Constitution, against Richard Nixon's, it's a close call. It's hard to say for a fact that he's done worse than Richard Nixon did. I mean, Richard Nixon hired a group of people who tried to kill Jack Anderson, a reporter, for being a reporter that Nixon didn't like. That was extreme. All right? So if you're talking about the impeachable offense of Richard Nixon versus Donald Trump, it's a close question. If you're talking about the impeachable offenses of Donald Trump versus a particular governor of Texas who abused a power, his name was James Ferguson, he was governor in the 1920s. He abused power like we've never seen before in the United States. Again, Ferguson versus Trump, close question. Trump versus every other person who has ever been impeached in the United States, Trump has done worse. And that's what I meant to illustrate by the articles of impeachment that I sent to you. Whether you're talking about campaign misconduct, which has been an impeachable offense, whether you're talking about abuse of power, whether you're talking about conduct unbecoming a person in the office, which Trump violates that rule every day, literally. I don't know if you saw his press conference yesterday. He did it 15 times during that time alone, calling Nancy Pelosi Nasty Pelosi. Whether you're talking about tax evasion, outside interests that distract you from the job, sexual misconduct, whether you're talking about the actions that are against the interest and betray the country, divided loyalties between the United States and some foreign power, whether you're talking about bribery, corruption, emoluments, obstruction of justice, it's all there in Trump's case. All of it.
Well, all right, so how much of this, of these articles that you've written about and will soon be published in your book, how many of these occurred before he was president? How many occurred after he was president?
Well, the divided loyalties go back 30 years. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Trump met with Mikhail Gorbachev when Gorbachev was the head of the USSR and tried to push on him the idea of a Trump Tower in Moscow. That's how long he's been doing this. It goes all the way back to Gorbachev, and it's been that way ever since. I mean, he's taken hundreds of millions of dollars in cash payments from Russian oligarchs for inflated values of his property. And what's in the news now is the fact that Deutsche Bank is going to have to provide through subpoena the documents relating to Donald Trump. It certainly seems as if the Russian oligarchs have been laundering their money through Deutsche Bank to Donald Trump for decades. And this is why his own son said, we don't really need bank money anymore. We've got the Russians. He said that 10 years ago. So, there's that. And that was preceding his time in office. There was, in fact, what we saw with our own eyes regarding the Russian aid to his campaign, which was coordinated and was paid back in all sorts of ways. I mean, for instance, and people don't talk about this very much, but the person whom he appointed as his Secretary of State had such longstanding relations with Russia that he was given the highest Russian award to a civilian. He was given that by Vladimir Putin himself, and so on. So the campaign misconduct, the Russian ties, and the sexual misconduct. We've never had a president before. Is that 23 different women accused him of sexual misconduct? And by the way, that's an impeachable offense. There have been two different U.S. officials who have been removed from office. One of them was the governor of Missouri. He was removed from office last year. The other one was Judge Samuel Kent. They were both removed from office because of sexual misconduct against one woman. Trump's been accused of sexual misconduct by 23 women.
But and when you talked about the member of cabinet, you were talking about Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State. We're talking with Alan Grayson, former congressman, who says that President Trump should be impeached, and soon he'll be out with a book on that topic. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa. But if let's say the sexual misconduct or the dealings with Mikhail Gorbachev or the dealings with the Russian oligarchs, if they happened before he was president, can he be impeached for high crimes and misdemeanors if these were all incidents, things that he did as a private citizen?
Yes, because it has happened that way. There have been any number of U.S. officials who have been impeached or subjected to an impeachment investigation because of crimes they committed before they took office, including one that you'll be very familiar with, Spiro Agnew. Spiro Agnew left office facing impeachment because he was guilty of bribery when he was a county commissioner, before he was even elected governor of Maryland. Long before he took office, he was committing impeachable offenses, and that's what led him to be removed from office. And by the way, two other vice presidents, Schuyler Colfax and John C. Calhoun, also faced impeachment investigations for actions that they took in misconduct that occurred before they were vice president.
Congressman Grayson, so what happens if Congress doesn't move towards impeachment? Let's say that it remains on the same course, it does investigations, but the House Judiciary Committee doesn't vote on articles of impeachment. What if it just conducts the investigations, tries to reveal more of what President Trump has done, both as a president and before that as a businessman, but it doesn't vote on articles of impeachment? What would be the outcome then?
Well, I think that the president is trying desperately to run out the clock. There was a vice president who was not removed from office, Schuyler Colfax, because the vote took place 8 days before he was about to leave office. And basically, there was sort of a what the hell vote. What the hell? We'll let him go. He's got only 8 days left. And I think that that's the president's current strategy. He's the president is stalling, playing for time, and obstructing justice in the process. You know, the Constitution doesn't collapse because it isn't enforced. That's not the way the Constitution works. But I will tell you that when I was elected to Congress, I took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution. So did the 435 members of the House who are there right now. They're required by the Constitution to take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution. And I think that one could reasonably conclude that it's necessary to impeach the president to simply carry out that duty. Carry out that oath. The president clearly is guilty of impeachable offenses, and therefore the Constitution expects that the House will impeach him.
And let's say the president did do some of these crimes, like, for instance, one of your articles of impeachment talks about violating the Emoluments Clause. If the president did profit from his time in office, from his businesses in which companies are seeking favor with him as president, Does that open the door, if he's not impeached, does that open the door to this kind of behavior to all future presidents?
Well, of course, but I think we are seeing what is literally a once-in-history situation here, that there's never been anybody other than Richard Nixon and that governor of Texas whom I mentioned, who just woke up every morning and said, how can I abuse my power today? Donald Trump is like that. Nancy Pelosi was correct when saying that he commits impeachable offenses literally every day. And the fact that we've never seen this before, to some extent, makes people, it leads to some incredulousness when you talk about this subject. People just don't want to grapple with the fact that this is happening right in front of our own eyes. We've never had this situation come up with a president before, except for what Nixon did in secret. The difference, though, between Nixon and Trump is stark. Trump does it on Twitter every day. To give you one example, it was obstruction of justice for Trump to dangle pardons in front of the people who were being investigated over Trump-Russia. That's a classic case of obstruction of justice. Trump did it on Twitter. So, there's no, if he plays it out, he plays his hand out, and he runs out the clock, and he manages to avoid being impeached over this, the world will not come to an end, but the Constitution will have been thwarted.
Congressman, when is your book coming out?
Oh, we don't know. what I'm hearing from the publishers right now is that some e-book might be out in 6 weeks or so. After that, the regularly published book will be out about 2 months later. Those are the dates I'm hearing now. Publishing is a very interesting business, I have to tell you. It's not at all like politics, because in politics you know when the election is going to be. In publishing, you have no idea when the book's going to get published. All you do is cross your fingers and wait.
Yeah, and one last question. We hear from a lot of Fox News viewers who say over and over again that the Mueller report showed that there was no obstruction and no collusion with Moscow. Your interpretation, and a lot of other people's interpretation, is that neither one of those is true, that the president's campaign had help from Moscow, and there was contact and there was interaction. But when you talk to people who watch Fox and listen to nothing else or don't get beyond that bubble, what do you say to them?
I feel sorry for them. People are lying to their faces and they don't even realize it. You know, one of the crucial elements of being a human being is that we're all born with this wonderful thing called a BS detector. And in their case, it's broken and it needs to be fixed. Fox News is constantly lying to them. The president is constantly lying to them. And I just feel sorry. I would tell any one of them who talked to me about it, go read the report. Go ahead, go read the report. See what it says. Draw your own conclusions. But beyond that, I mean, the man did it in our faces. You know, during the campaign, he said, Russia, if you're listening, go steal Hillary Clinton's emails. And they did it 5 hours later. The Mueller report points out that the Russians tried to hack Hillary Clinton's emails in her personal office server 5 hours after the president gave that speech. So you tell me, was he colluding with the Russians or not? And as for obstruction of justice, I seem to recall that he said he fired the FBI director because of that Russia thing. He said that on national TV. All right, again, this is not a president like Nixon who does things furtively, secretly, behind the scenes. He does it right in our faces. You would have to be a fool to overlook it.
Well, Congressman Alan Grayson, thanks for coming on WMNF. Can we get you back when the book comes out?
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
Thanks. That's a former Democratic Congressman Alan Grayson. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. I'm Rob Lori. Thanks for tuning in. And this is Radioactivity. Bill Grace is our phone producer today. Let's open up the phones and see what you think about impeachment. Do you think the Democrats should move quickly towards impeachment? Should they continue the investigations and not move toward impeachment? Or what do you think would be best for the country? The phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. And We're going to take some phone calls in just a moment. David writes this. He said, all this talk of high crimes and misdemeanors may very well be true, but in that same respect, Mitch McConnell and the Republican-led Senate will not impeach Mr. Trump. So it seems to me like the Democrats should find another way. I think that if you give him a long enough rope, he will likely hang himself. Let's listen again to what President Trump said yesterday about possible impeachment.
They want to make this a big deal. Whether or not they carry the big I word out, I can't imagine that, but they probably would. I'll tell you, there's a danger here. If someday a Democrat becomes president and you have a Republican House, they can impeach him for any reason, or her. Any reason. We can't allow that to happen.
And here's what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said yesterday about impeachment.
I think the president every day gives grounds for impeachment in terms of his obstruction of justice. He never say blanketly, I'm not answering any subpoenas. Article 3 of the Nixon impeachment was he refused to honor the subpoenas of Congress. So, you know, but again, you mentioned history, so I mentioned that as a reference. But everybody today is an instant gratification. You got a subpoena, we want somebody to go to jail. No, it takes time.
All right, so what do you think about impeachment? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Do you think there is enough evidence there already that President Trump has committed crimes, high crimes or misdemeanors? And do you think for the good of the Constitution he should be impeached? Or do you think that there is absolutely no evidence that he's committed any crimes at all? Do you think the Democrats should go towards impeachment, or do you think that they should slowly move toward impeachment and do an investigation, do all the investigations they're doing, and then at some point maybe discuss impeachment? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. David writes this. I totally agree with Alan Grayson. Impeach Trump now. I'm very disappointed with Nancy Pelosi for not getting the ball rolling. Trump is a liar, a con man, a thief, and a professional victim. Time to get him out of office with a quickness, writes David. David, thank you. Jeff in Newport Richey writes this. You people are funny. You call President Trump all kinds of vile, nasty things. And as soon as he calls nitwit Pelosi nasty, you think it's an impeachable offense. Laugh out loud. What a bunch of snowflakes. That's Jeff in Newport Richey. You know, Jeff is calling Pelosi a nitwit and then complaining about name calling. Jeff, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Is our phone number. And let's go to Bruce in Sarasota. Bruce, thank you for calling in. What are your thoughts about impeachment?
Yes. In terms of Democrats holding Republicans accountable, I think we also need to look at Barack Obama, because George W. Bush and Cheney did torture, you know, documented torture in Afghanistan, and Obama kept saying we need to look forward and not back, and he did not hold the Republicans accountable. And now the Democrats are again in a situation where they can maybe hold the Republicans accountable in terms of Donald Trump and impeachment, and they're slow footing it. So I think starting with Obama, too, he was obligated to prosecute torturers. That's international law, and he refused to do it because he didn't want to be confrontational or whatever. So I think the Democrats have a history of not being forceful in terms of, you know, holding Republicans accountable.
Well, so since President Obama didn't do that, and there were no articles of impeachment brought up when the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives under Obama, do you blame Obama, or House of Representatives?
More Democrats in general, because Obama could have pushed to have the Department of Justice investigate torture, and he was under a lot of pressure. Just more of a general statement that Democrats do not, in some ways, they're too civil and they don't want to create, they avoid confrontation.
So the Democrats are too civil and they avoid confrontation. So what about now? What do you think should be the course in Washington, Democrats and Republicans?
I mean, I agree with Alan Grayson. They absolutely need to do impeachment. If there's ever a case for impeachment, this is it. There's multiple evidence. That's why I bring it back to Obama, because, you know, they need to have guts, and I think they're too civil sometimes.
Okay.
But they definitely need to impeach Trump, I think, or do the investigation. Yeah.
All right, Bruce. Thanks a lot.
And thank you for your great show.
Thank you. And all right, we're taking the temperature of the audience. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Matthew in St. Pete. Matthew, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say about impeachment?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the last caller, I like how he talks about Democrats being too civil. Alan Grayson would not exactly be the person I would call civil. I'm a conservative. Please impeach. Please impeach. I ask all the Democratic voters out there to call your representatives and ask them to impeach. I know that it will do nothing but help Trump's cause and get him reelected. And the last thing I'd like to add is I don't know that Alan Grayson is really going to be the best person to determine, you know, the pulse on the electorate. Didn't you say he was a loser twice?
He won a couple of elections. And he lost a couple of elections.
Okay, that's what I thought. And his assertion that Trump had asked for emails from Hillary's server, and within minutes or hours, her server had been shut down months prior. So again, you know, he's talking about Fox lying or different people lying. That assertion that he made was completely inaccurate. So maybe he's just mistaken. I won't call him a liar, but he needs to look up his own facts.
All right, Matthew, thanks a lot. Thank you, Matthew. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. If somebody wants to email me the timeline when President Trump said, Russia, if you found Hillary's emails, and then when the Democratic emails were released, if somebody wants to email me the timeline on that and help me do some research, you can email me here in the studio at dj@wmnf.org. Matthew, they're saying that impeaching President Trump would fire up his base and let him win the next election. Let's take some more phone calls. 813-239-9663. You're listening to Radioactivity, and let's go to John in Lakeland. John, thanks for calling.
Yeah, Rob. Hey, I have said all along that impeaching Donald Trump would wind up with President Mike Pence. I think we have to go ahead and see what happens there. And it also occurs to me, listen to Alan Grayson, that should we be able to impeach Trump, and I think it can be done, we might want to look at Brett Kavanaugh and impeach him, because I think he lied through his teeth at hearing before Congress. So I just hope this goes.
All right, John, thanks. Thanks for your thoughts. And we're taking the pulse of the audience right now. After that interview with Congressman Alan Grayson, who supports impeaching President Trump and supported it all throughout 2018, supported that idea. What do you think? And we've got all guys on the phone calling in so far, but we've got one open line. And if you're a woman, we would certainly love to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Joe in St. Pete. Joe, you're on. What do you think about impeachment?
Well, I think the Democrats, and I am a Democrat, I do believe the Democrats are not going to impeach, and the reason being is because they don't have a strong candidate to oppose Trump 2020, and I think maybe they're just going to let him build up the amount of crimes, et cetera, to the point of campaign, and then probably come out with a big list just to try to let people see that, golly, man, you guys really want this guy again for another 4 years? That's my opinion.
All right, Joe, thank you. Thanks for your thoughts. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, you're on. What do you think about impeachment?
Well, as Al Green said on Democracy Now! This morning, quite eloquently, and they ran the tape of Lindsey Graham back in the day regarding Clinton, saying that you don't have to commit, like, legally defined crimes. It's not a court of law. It's to, quote, cleanse the taint from the office of the presidency. And certainly Trump has tainted the office of the presidency. And anything that we can do, including impeachment, to hobble him, to distract him, his agenda is being implemented. Let me give you two quick examples of it. My bank is messing around with me and doing illegal things. So I contacted the Federal Reserve, and it took them 2 months to get back to me. When they got back to me, they said, oh, sorry, you have to contact the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. I contacted them. That's the agency that Elizabeth Warren created. And it took them a month to get back to me. And when they got back to me, they said that due to budget cuts and firings and a crippling that has been done by Mick Mulvaney at the direction of Trump, the CFPB can't do anything anymore, and they can't protect me from my bank, which is committing a crime against me.
All right. And, Gary, you know, it's a good story. I appreciate it. It's way off topic, if you don't mind. I mean, I think what you're saying is that the Trump administration isn't doing enough for the people. But let's listen back to what Lindsey Graham said about impeachment, and that was a good point that you raised. Let's listen back to what he said about impeachment just a few years ago. Let's see if we're bringing this up. This is what current senator from South Carolina once said about impeachment. Looks like we can't bring it up. Okay. Let's take some phone calls. Oh, here it goes. We are going to bring it up. Here we go. Lindsey Graham.
It's not very scholarly, but I think it's the truth. I think that's what they meant by high crimes. Doesn't even have to be a crime. It's just when you start using your office and you're acting in a way that hurts people, you've committed a high crime.
Lindsey Graham, when he was a congressman, calling for Clinton's impeachment back in 1988 or 89, speaking on the floor of the House. Let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to, let's find a woman first. Let's go to Susan on Anna Marie Island. Susan, what do you think about impeaching President Trump?
Hey, Rob. I definitely think that, you know, it's time. He needs to be impeached. And I like the gentleman that called. I think his name was John. He's a conservative, and he encouraged us to call our representatives. I call representatives all the time, and I think it's important to do that. But at the same time, I think that, you know, conservatives should call representatives because, you know, we have so many, we're overrun by, you know, we're run by Republicans. But we have to look at it like this. We're all Americans. We're not Democrats or Republicans. We're all Americans. And this person in the White House really needs to go. And that, I'm impeached.
All right. Susan, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. DeMarco writes this. He says the Republicans impeaching a president for any reason, that's already happened, writes DeMarco. I think he's referring to Bill Clinton. And the number to call, 813-239-9663. Imad writes, McConnell has been obstructing for 10 years. Let's impeach him. We've got one open line. You'll be able to get through right away if you want to call in and tell us what you think about impeaching President Trump. Let's go to Ben in Lakeland. Ben, thanks for calling in. What do you think about impeaching President Trump?
Hello.
Hi, Ben. What do you think about impeaching President Trump?
Well, I think it'd be a difficult thing to do. One, if you don't get a copy of this report without it being redacted, you really don't have any proof. And the other thing, too, is that my mom used to say that two wrongs don't make a right. So I'm retired military, and a newsletter came out last week saying that as far as Army people go, we could be held accountable to court, the military court, even after retirement if we commit a federal crime. So if you're going to, say, speak your piece about Trump or whoever it is, you better be careful that you don't cross any military law. Otherwise, you may find yourself on the other end of it. So that's pretty much what I wanted to say.
All right, Ben. Thanks a lot. So you're saying that people who are ex-military can't voice their opinion about impeaching? Was that your bottom line?
They can. Let's say that you write a nasty, vicious thing, and you put it on the computer. Depends on how it's worded and how it's used. It could come across as a threat to a president, and then you might have crossed a federal law. So military guys need to be careful that, you know what you're saying before you say it.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot. Thank you, sir, for your thoughts. And if you want to agree or disagree with anything you've heard here so far, you can call us up, 813-239-9663. This is WMNF Radio, 88.5 FM. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thanks for calling into Radioactivity. What would you like to say about impeachment?
Oh, thank you, Rob. Good morning. Yes, I do think he should be impeached. But, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I heard the other day on MSNBC they were talking about, Joy Reid was talking about, when Clinton was impeached, he was at, now listen to this, at 66% approval rating. After he was acquitted and all that, he went up to 72% approval rating. Now, the reason I'm saying that is, Trump has never even come close to 50%. He's been as low as 38, maybe 43, 44, whatever. Joy Reid said, where is that support? And let's say he gets acquitted in the Senate, which he probably will. Where does that new support going to come from? Where is this sudden support going to come from, higher than 43, all of a sudden go up to 66, 70% for Trump after he's acquitted? She doesn't think so. This is not the same as Bill Clinton. So the guy who caught up and said that, you know, go ahead and impeach him, and it'll be perfect for the Senate, and he'll be reelected. That's not necessarily so. I agree with her. So I think, I know it's risky because they're, but I myself agree with her. I don't see where that new support would come from and this sympathy would come from. All of a sudden, would shoot up 30 or 40 points. I don't see it.
Yeah, well, that's
the way, I asked about the Mueller report. I called Barnes and Noble to see if they had it, and they do have it there.
Yeah, it is pretty widely available. I put a copy of the executive summary of the Mueller report on my Facebook page. So if you're a Facebook friend with me, the report is up there, at least the executive summary. Danny, thanks a lot. Thanks for those numbers, Rob, too. Thomas writes this, just to build on what Alan Grayson says, there is a standard that any impeachable offenses that were publicly known at the time of election are historically not used as grounds for impeachment. So, Thomas, I think disagreeing with our guest, Alan Grayson. Thomas, thank you for that. Elijah writes this, I'm in favor for impeachment, but I think the Dems will end up like Marty McFly's canned milk toast father, trying to protect the honor of Marty's mother from Biff. But they want to, but they won't, writes Elijah. Let's take some more phone calls. We're asking people what they think about impeaching President Trump. We heard earlier this hour on WMNF from Alan Grayson, the former congressman who is in favor of impeachment, and he is writing a book about why President Trump should be impeached. We got an insight into what that book's going to contain. And let's go to James in St. Petersburg. James, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hello. I agree with Alan, and I think that he should be impeached. And listening to Lindsey Graham, he reminds me of a Southern-speaking Mr. Rogers. And at least one Republican is coming on the side of impeachment. So the other thing, too, is the scary thing is in India, they have a right-winger that just got reelected. So we have to fear that, and he got 66% of the vote, as was on Amy Goodman's show this morning. So it's kind of where America is, and I just hope that the voters change their minds coming up in 2020. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, James, thanks a lot. Yeah, India just reelected the head of the Hindu Nationalist Party for another five-year term, and he is quite conservative. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mike in Brandon. Mike, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I can't complain. Still breathing. Always a good sign. You know, I do believe at some point in time he'll be impeached. I do believe Nancy Pelosi is a good chess strategist. It's a tough thing that she has to do with so many different components to the caucus or her group. But here's the thing. We need to distinguish some. I believe the man is going to be impeached, but he's not going to be removed from office. So the argument is, why do it if he's not going to be removed? Well, here's the thing. Unlike Bill Clinton, who was in his second administration, getting ready, you know, basically to leave, going into the midterms, this man who became president because there were many people who gave him the benefit of the doubt, whether they will do that this time, think about it. You have an impeached candidate. Would you vote for him?
What do you think?
His voters or people who support him, they support an ideologue or they support, they're nationalistic per se, right? So it doesn't matter who the person is. It's what the person stands for. He's not going to lose them. They're going to vote for him. And I don't, you know, it seems to perplex many people who are not his supporters why they would under normal circumstances. These people are, let's say they're sane, rational, yet they back clearly a flawed person. I think that he will lose. I think that it is in the best interest of the country to impeach him. And then let's see what America is willing to do. Because here's the thing. If he does win or gets reelected as an impeached individual, that speaks volume about this country.
And what they're willing to settle for, something really low.
Absolutely.
All right.
And I think, just one last thing. I do believe that we have many sane candidates, and I think that the person who wants less conflict. I mean, one of the main knocks on Hillary Clinton was that she was going to bring a lot of conflict. There was going to be constant issues. Well, this guy clearly has done that. So as long as the Democrats can put together a sane candidate and vice president candidate, they're going to be fine.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot. Thanks.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
I do think that Danny's numbers are important. If he's right and the President Trump's approval numbers are pretty much stuck around 41 or 43, and President Clinton's numbers were at the low 60s when he was impeached, there has to be a group of people that Trump will gain who are on the fence, who haven't made up their mind about President Trump, who are going to go over to his side and give him that extra, you know, 9% or whatever he needs to win. And I think that's an interesting number that Danny put out there. 813-239-9663. Peter writes this, Attorney General Barr needs to be impeached as well. He committed perjury, writes Peter. There was that famous exchange between Charlie Crist, the congressman from St. Pete, and Attorney General Barr. You've probably seen that video. We played it a lot here on MNF. Kat writes this, yes, please stop and think about Mike Pence as president. No, no, no. Impeaching Donald Trump would backfire, says Kat. All right, Kat, thank you for chiming in, asking people what they think about impeaching President Trump right here on 88.5 FM. Let's go to Gary in Safety Harbor. Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yeah, actually, that last email you got kind of stole my thunder, because that's one of the things that has worried me. Everyone wants to get rid of Trump, but Pence is a true ideologue who wants to destroy the federal government and take us back to the 1890s. And you know, this would be self-defeating to get rid of Trump. Trump is the best chance we have as Democrats of taking back the White House and taking back the Senate. And if we get rid of him before the election, it's, you know, I don't think people will be nearly as riled up against Pence, and will look at Pence, because Pence is so low key, to think, well, gee, he's really not that bad a guy. You know, it's like comparing Adolf Hitler to Sister Teresa. You know, it doesn't look like he's a bad guy, but he really is. He really is. Not just Mother Teresa was, but I'm just saying that the comparison makes Pence look good. So we need to worry about that. And plus, also, I really am concerned about the Democrats spending so much time fighting over impeachment, that a lot of the stuff that they really need to focus the population's attention to is going to be taken away. I mean, there's all kinds of things that need to be done that won't be done or won't even be talked about in the public arena, because the impeachment will take the air out of the entire room.
All right, Gary, thanks a lot. Gary, thank you for making the point. You know, that is, in fact, why I brought up this discussion today, is that the president went to the Rose Garden yesterday and said because of the investigations against him, he's not going to move forward on any legislation. So things have already come to a halt in Washington, D.C., not so much because of the Democrats, I think it would be fair to say. I mean, you may disagree, but the Democrats are saying we can't investigate and we can't legislate at the same time. The president is saying, if you're going to investigate, we on the Republican side are not going to legislate. And so I think that if Washington is coming to a crashing halt and we're not getting things like the infrastructure bill, it's because President Trump doesn't want to move forward until the Democrats agree to drop all their investigations. Now, you can tell us what you think about that. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Bob in Largo writes, when do the Democratic debates start? Well, they're going to be on TV the last week in June. So the Democrats will start debating the last week in June. Can you believe the next presidential election is almost upon us? You are listening to WMNF in Tampa. It'd be great to hear from some more women. Let's go to Lisa in Sarasota. Lisa, thanks for calling in. What would you like to say?
I'm just kind of frustrated with all these people commenting on things they don't know anything about, or they haven't bothered to read the Mueller report. That gentleman who called earlier that doubted Mr. Grayson about the 5 hours later, the Russians, page 49 in the Mueller report. People need to read. I know it's hard for some folks to do, but I've read it, all 400 and whatever pages, and there's a lot of stuff that's not good.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think all you have to do is read the executive summary if you don't have time to read the 400 pages of the Mueller report. But Lisa, thank you for that, because I was hoping somebody would call in and from the outside tell us how quickly.
Well, unfortunately, I was in the car, so yeah.
Great. It was great that you finally got through.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Lisa. Good to hear from you. And this is WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to Robert in Tampa, also wants to talk about the Russians hacking the Democrats. Robert, you're on. Take it away.
You know, I agree with the last caller. Grayson was actually largely correct. It wasn't specifically a Hillary server. It was a Democratic National Committee server.
That's right.
That they spearfished within 5 hours of Trump making that speech. So he was largely correct. There wasn't a Hillary server per se. So it's pretty clear, I mean, to anybody with common sense, that he says this, and then they react that quickly. Seems like there ought to be the connection between the two that we could reasonably draw.
Yeah, something was very odd about the timing of that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not 2 weeks later. It's not a month later. It's within 5 hours. And we've still got the Roger Stone thing hanging out there, which people have largely forgotten about. He wasn't formally with the campaign. So when we say that the Trump campaign did not conspire with Russia, that's true, at least as far as the conclusions go. But Stone was not formally with the campaign, and we're going to find out that he had a lot to do with WikiLeaks, which, by the way, is not an arm of the Russian government, but was used as a vehicle by the Russian government to release those emails.
Yeah, Robert, thanks. Thanks for a great call. Thank you for that.
Sure.
All right. And Chip in Tampa writes this, impeaching Trump is a terrible idea, writes Chip, for two reasons. It would likely be a drawn-out process that wouldn't be finalized before the 2020 election. Beat Trump at the ballot box, writes Chip. He says, which should be easy if the DNC and mainstream media remain neutral instead of siding with Joe Biden. And number two, Mike Pence would be one of the impacts of impeaching Trump. Mike Pence would become president, and Chip would not like that. Chip, thanks for your thoughts. And let's go to Doug in Clearwater. Doug, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, on one hand, I think impeaching Trump would be great. However, it puts us in the political sphere, and those that 31 to 41% of voters that believe Trump, no matter how many times they also say he lies, it would leave us just crushed. So I think, at least in my opinion, it's better to keep these investigations going and having them run through the court system and getting more information while also heavily, heavily, heavily working to make sure that we keep the House and we gain the Senate. Because after Trump leaves, or if we ever gain the presidency back, given the current scope of the Congress, we have to do something to reverse what the president now and the Congress has done when the House was Republican as well as the Senate. So we have to concentrate on those. If we lose the House again and have the Senate and we have the impeachment going out there, they may take elections away, and I'm being sarcastic.
All right, Doug, thanks a lot. Thank you, Doug. Dan writes this, I thought Trump's base was fired up when Trump locked up the kids, writes Dan. That's his sarcastic remark about locking up immigrant children. Well, coming up in the next hour on Midpoint, Shelley and Lynn will be talking with Paul Wilborn, who has written that great new book about Ybor City called Cigar City. Paul was around in Ybor City back in the 1980s when it was inhabited by artists and writers and all sorts of alternative types. So Paul will be on in the next hour. I'm Rob Lori. If you want to comment about today's show, call us up 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. I'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the latest news. This is WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg.